the compassion of the Lord Jesus when he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and you would not? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, for I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, we once again, Lord, seek your face, direction, guidance, and a service. We're thankful to be here this morning, as Jeff prayed and said that we're thankful to have a place to come to. Lord, I'm thankful also for the freedom that we yet have in this country to worship by the dictates of our own heart. And so, Lord, we pray for those that are missing this morning, maybe by sickness, and flu, and colds, and these things, Lord, would hamper somebody from coming. We pray for their health to be restored. But, Lord, we're gathered here, and we're gathered under your name. We have the Word of God. And so, Father, this morning we'll just pray that the Holy Spirit meet with us, and Lord, that be our director, and Lord, to just be on the shoulder of a speaker this morning, whereby you could take his tongue, his mind, his heart, and voice, and Lord, to make us appreciate what you've done for us and what you are doing for us and your care for us this morning. So, Lord, we'll just pray that at the end of the service, if Lord, there be a person here that's not saved, we don't know if there's not saved, never been born again, that, Lord, this morning would be that morning. But, Father, for us that are your children, Lord, maybe you challenge us to be a better example of you. But, Lord, whatever the case, we just ask you to be with the service. I ask you to be with the speaker. Lord, I pray for forgiveness and Lord, cleansing of the blood. And, Father, also over the service also that nothing would hinder the pathway of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And so, Father, we'll ask these things in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. You know, sometimes I don't know how. I told Sue this morning. But I don't know how some city folk ever understand any of the Scripture, or neither do I sometimes understand how some city person could preach. Why, or ever learn some things out of the Lord, or Jesus used ordinary speech. You notice that in Scripture. You know that in Scripture. That when Jesus was teaching and preaching, he used things that was common to man and common to our understanding, common to our thinking and our life and what we was doing and what's happening around us. And so here you find that he illustrated, I think, some divine principles, and he gave us some spiritual truths, really illustrated in many a thing in plowing and sowing and reaping and harvesting and in animals and all things that was common to folks' knowledge. Why, I don't know how anyone could understand Jesus' love, concern, and protection and care he has for his children. Let me say, except that you spend some time in a barnyard. Why, I was just coming into, I'll call it remembering or understanding years, whenever the horsepower machinery was being replaced with tractors and automatic machinery, and I can remember barely, but I can remember of we had an old horse at home, and I remember Dad plowing with that horse, and remember Granddad having horses and plowing with those horses. And so I never thought of looking at those things or understanding or remembering those things until I got into the Scripture and was looking in the Scripture. And such verses, that's what Jesus said, that a man having put his hand to the plow, if he looks backward, he's not worthy really of what redemption is and the redemption plan and being part of salvation. And I didn't understand really until I got to thinking about my dad and my granddad plowing, and sometimes they set me up on the old horse, and Mom would be screaming that I was going to fall off, and there was two, I don't know what you call them anymore, but there was a thing come up over the shoulders of that horse, and then there was two spikes come up, and there was hand holds right there, or that's what I used them for, two knobs up there. they'd set me up on there, and I'd have a hold of those handles on top of the horse, and the old workhorse was so wide that I can just remember my legs spread almost clear flat out this way, and there I sat, and Dad wasn't worried, but Mom seemed to be, and she was always afraid of horses anyway, but I do remember being at my granddad's, and we got on the old workhorse, myself and somebody was on there with me, and we was riding around, and all of a sudden I slid off the side of that horse, and when I went down, anything you could grab a hold of, you catch him. He was on the horse just bareback, and so when I was sliding off, the only thing that I could grab a hold of was the left steering rein, or the steering control, the steering wheel. Anyway, I grabbed the hold of that rein, and I fell down. I kept hold of it. Well, the old horse just started spinning in a complete circle. I mean, just on a dime, went around a circle, and finally I fell off. And I know that horse didn't mean to step on me, but she came around her back hoof with that old shoe, stepped on my left hip. And, man, I thought I was crushed. And I hobbled around. They all come running over and gathered me up and was examining me. And my hip turned all blue. But, you know, in a couple of days, I was okay. But it wasn't the horse's fault. It was mine. But I remember the horsepower leaving the country, and we come into automation and these things. But I remember when they plowed, and they was I noticed it that and how this stayed in my memory, I don't know. Maybe I think one day I was talking to Jean about some of those things. She said maybe God was teaching you theology early on. Well, that might have been, because I remember some of those things. And I remember that they didn't look back when they plowed. I don't know if anybody in here ever plowed with a horse or not, but I never. I was too young, but I remember that they never looked back. If they laid your hand to the plow, you had to guide the plow and keep it in the furrow and plow straight ahead. And if they got to looking around and looking backwards, I think we have freedom today to stick your wheel down in the tractor wheel down in the fur and just go ahead, and you'll plow as straight as what the first fur was. But they was always guiding the horse and looking ahead and keeping sure that the plow was straight. But whenever you find that Jesus said that you're not worthy if you look back, because you can't stay on the straight and narrow. Remember, he's talking about if you follow him, we're on the straight and narrow, and we ought to know where we're going. We ought to have a goal set out there. We ought to have a mark. And Paul said that if we set up a mark out yonder there, that we ought to attempt to hit that mark. And so he said, don't look back. Don't look back. Why, Bob Ring preached a message, first message ever preached here when we took over, was that don't be like Lot's wife. Don't look back. Don't look back no matter what happens. Just go ahead. Well, that's Christianity. Keep your eye on Jesus and keep going. But to illustrate that, he said about setting a hand to a plow and then just looking ahead and guiding that plow. But you find also that Jesus spoke about sheep, and he spoke about wolves. He spoke about sowing. He spoke about reaping or harvesting. And you find there in the portion of Scripture that we read this morning, in the center part of that, that Jesus said and made the statement and was trying to illustrate who he is and what he is and his love, concern, compassion, care, protection, whatever you'd say, whatever you'd want to add to that. He said I would, O Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, stones them which are sent unto thee. How often will I have gathered thy children together? And then he said that even as a hen gathereth her chickens. Listen, I have the advantage. I have the advantage on that verse because I've seen the hen and the chicks. I don't know how many. There's probably quite a few folk in here that didn't see the hen and chicks. You was raised too late in time to know the hen and the chicks. You used to have the barnyard and had a couple old hens sitting out there, and they sometimes hatched their eggs at the same time. So you had two or three little broods or flocks of chickens running around. One hen or three hens running around. Remember, we had three hens, and they all hatched almost the same week. So all the chicks was about the same size. But you could tell a lot of things by the chicken. You could tell if something was outside by the chicken, if she had chicks. We could tell if the chicken hawk was overhead because of the sound of the hen. You could tell if things was going along pretty good on the outside. If you could hear the chicken, you could hear the hen, you'd find that, hey, it's pretty peaceful and quiet out there just by the sounds that the old hen's making. Why, they'd run around and you could hear that call and they'd just be going cluck, 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 cluck. Then you find that, if they would, they'd be scratching up some food somewhere and they wanted the young ones to come. It was a more rapid cluck than that, but it was a higher pitch. They'd go cluck, 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 cluck. Then you'd find that you heard a panic, buddy. You heard something panicked and they was going, tick, 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 tick. You knew that there was something about the place. But you could tell the old hen and by the sound of the old hen what was really what the chickens were doing or what was outside and what was going on. But I have advantage of that. When Jesus said that I'm as the as a hen when she would gather her chickens or she'd take care of her chicks, he said, I'm as that. Well, when I said a while ago, I don't understand how some folk could understand the care, the protection, the love, the compassion that God would have for His children, except He said that you understand the idea of the hen and her chicks. Why, I think that the first thing we may say that the chicks know the hen's call. Why, we, as I said, we had two or three sets of hens, and they'd all have chicks together. But what amazed me, that the chicks would all be running around mingled together. And they'd all be in, say that each one of them had 10, there'd be 30 little chicks running around, and there'd be three hens there, or however many it would be, and they'd be all mingled together, and you couldn't tell one from another. You just look at them, you wouldn't be able to tell, who belongs to who. If you've been there, you know that that old hen would make that cluck, cluck sound, and she'd be calling hers out, and she'd say, let's go over here, or let's go here, you follow me, and she'd be giving a following call, and you'd see 10 of those little fellows starting to lead off somewhere, and they'd be leaving the flock over here, and they'd go over here, and they'd follow this hen. Well, I'd watch those things and I'd see that they assembled after each other, and the old hen knew who her children were. And sometimes when one would stray off somewhere and they'd get in with the other brood, why, this old hen would just kind of lightly peck that chick on the head and make him realize, you don't belong over here. You belong with Henrietta over there and not Gertrude here, so you go over with your mother where you belong. Well, she would do that, and I don't know if it hurt the chick, I don't know, but I know that he'd kind of duck down and leave. But I found out that I'd take one. I'd catch one. And here'd be a set, there'd be a set over there, there'd be a set of those hens and the chick. And so I'd catch one over here when I realized, and I'd sneak him over and I'd put him in that bunch. And he wouldn't know where he belonged. And I always noticed that even though he was with chickens and he was with a hen, he's about this far away from all the rest of them. He'd be running on the outskirts, and he wouldn't be mingling right in because he was kind of a stranger. He knew, I don't belong in this place, and that they really knew he didn't belong there, but he'd follow just so far. I told Sue that. She said, you did that for meanness. No, I didn't do it for meanness. I was just curious. I wanted to see what would happen. And then you'd see they'd be coming back together, and the old hen, and directly you'd see this little chick, he'd be over yonder there with the right Henrietta, not Gertrude, and he'd be falling real close along the side there. Well, I was thinking about that. Jesus said, as a hen gathereth her chicks. I was thinking that the reason that a person, let me say, that's without the blood-washed redemption, born-again plan of God, that he gets in with the blood wars, and he gets in with the redeemed, and he gets in with folks that's praising God for what God has done for them, and praising God for the salvation that he has given them, that he's sort of a stranger, and he's following, but he's off to the side. You find that he's not enjoying the same things because he's in the wrong family, he's in the wrong brood, and you find that he's not really enjoying those things until he gets in the same redemption plan. He gets redeemed, and he gets blood washed, and you find also that the reason that the old blood washed, born again child of God is miserable when he gets out with the wrong crowd, and he starts following the wrong people, and he gets mixed up with the wrong crowd, he's not happy either. You can't tell me that some person that's actually genuinely born again, and I believe that was the prodigal son back in Luke 16 there, or 15, wherever it is, but you find that I believe he wasn't happy out there feeding the swine and mixing with the wrong crowd because of he knew where he belonged, and he knew where the father was, and he knew where his family was, and we find that folk are saying, well, I'm happy outside the church. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. If you're blood washed and redeemed, I don't believe that. I think you're like that one chick that's out there, and I'd mix him up, and I'd put him over there, and he'd run about so many feet away from the rest of them because he realized this isn't my group, this isn't where I belong, and so he'd be really joyous when he found his home, and he found his family, and he found the right mother. But you know what else I think of is that there was a feeding call the old hen gave. You folks that have been there know what I'm talking about. That there was an actual feeding call because the old hen would scratch to the surface all that a chick would need to pick up and eat. All he needed to do was just come over because the old hen would, she'd get on out in the barnyard and she'd get on top of the manure pile or wherever, and she would just, she would start scratching and digging, and all of a sudden she would let out that real rapid cluck, 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 cluck sound, and you would find about 10 of those little chicks, they was heading up to where she was at, and because there was something there that they could eat, and something there that was nutritious, and something that was good for them, and you'd find that they'd be running for it. I think of Jesus in John chapter 6 and verse 31, he said, I am the bread of life. You find also in John chapter 4, and I'm not sure, maybe verse 14, but he said, not only am I the bread of life, but he said, I am the water of life. Do you know, whenever Jesus went to the cross, I think of Jesus bringing to the surface the grace of God that brought eternal life down to man, and we find that we hear the God's call, and he says, come and dine, and we find that when Jesus went up on Calvary there, that he brought to surface the very fact that was a mystery down through about 40 centuries of time, whenever man knew that there was going to be a redemption plan. He knew that, but they looked through as the Bible says, a glass darkly, or they found that they couldn't see. They was looking as though it was a fog ahead of them, and they couldn't see the end result, but they knew that God had promised them redemption. He promised them a time when they'd be his children, and you find that until the... until Calvary, and until Jesus went on Calvary, and he cried out and he said, come and die. He cried also that it is finished. And you find that he brought to surface what? He brought to surface the very love of God. We can understand, I can understand, whenever the most famous verse in all the scripture, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Listen, I can understand the love of God whenever I find that Jesus is up yonder on Calvary, and he is brought to surface, and he's brought to light God's love through the redemption plan. Listen, whenever I think of that old hen doing that, and then calling the chicks to feed, she's called them all, you know. She has given them really bread of life. You can find that whenever Jesus said, come and dine, we can experience love and care and protection that Jesus, through Jesus, as a hen would her chicks. And I find also that there was a distress call. You find the the chicks was feeding or the brood's feeding, and one decides, I'm going to chase a butterfly. Did you ever see that? One chick, there's a butterfly going by, and this one chick looks at it, and he just darts right off. And he's heading out wherever that butterfly is, because he has his eye on that butterfly. Probably he says, boy, that is a beautiful creature. Or, boy, if I could just gain that, I could catch it. It would be a prize, and it would be good for me. And so he darts off, and he's after this butterfly. Well, he gets over there a little ways, and whether he catches a butterfly or not, usually not, but he's chased it. And all of a sudden, there's a panic because the family's going that way, and he's going this way, and he's after that butterfly. And all of a sudden, you can hear, and you can tell by the sound of it, that this chick is panicked. He's going, beep, 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 beep. And he's looking around to say, where do I go and what's happening and where's the rest of the family and what in the world am I going to do now? Well, guess who hears? I've never seen the rest of the chicks run over and say, well, here we are, come with us. They're just going ahead and feeding because they're with the hen and they're enjoying the time with the hen. Guess who heard? You know who. Mother hen heard, and she hasn't realized that, hey, one of these folk, one of my children or one of my peeps has split off, and they're after that butterfly over there, and they got lost. And all of a sudden, she's coming, her wings just about half touching the ground, and she's running over there because she's wondering, what's happened to this child? And she runs right over, and the first thing she does is takes her beak and hooks down on him a little bit. And I guess she's examining to find out whether the horse stomped him or not. And looking to see if he's okay. And you find that he runs back and gets in the flock. Now, I noticed something. When he goes back and gets in the flock, being as he was panicked over here by himself, when he got back in the flock, do you know where he was? He was about this close to him. And that hen was going somewhere, and that chick's right there at the feet for a few minutes. I don't know how long. I never, you know, it'd probably be different. But if that hen turns, he's right there too, because he said, man, I'm glad to be home. I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be back where I belong. You know what a Christian does sometimes? He sees a butterfly that God, that the devil put out there. He sees a butterfly and he says, man, that's beautiful. If I could catch that thing, it would be a prize for me. And it would be good for me if I could just lay hands on it. The next thing he's after, he's trailing that butterfly, whatever God, whatever devil put up. Whatever devil put in his eyes, he's trailing that butterfly. And he says, if I could, you know, if he did catch it, it wouldn't be good for him. If he could catch it, it wouldn't be any good. But nonetheless, he falls along and he's chasing. Here the devil, you know, here the devil's put something out there. And he puts everything. The devil was the most beautiful creature God ever created, wasn't he? I mean, he was a walking pipe organ, really. And he was, it says that he was assembled with cabarets and I forget what else. But he meant that he could play beautiful music. He could play any kind of music. Well, boy, sometimes we have folk, you know, they get involved with all kind of music today. Well, the devil's put a lot of it out, put most of it out. But we say, man, there, we ought to chase that butterfly. Why, we ought to get involved with that after all, everybody else is doing it. And if I catch it, it'd be good for me. You can name everything he put up. This woman was talking about looking at a magazine. And she said that, isn't it strange that how suddenly things come in? And they just, the devil doesn't just all of a sudden, like you flip a pancake and we're in a whole different era. You know what he does? He gradually injects us with things. And first of all, our modesty, we just reveal this much, then that much, and it's okay there and it's okay here, and directly we are revealed. And we don't realize it. And we're chasing a butterfly. And we're saying, well, that's what society is doing. I'm chasing a butterfly. I got to hurry. I didn't think I'd be on a chicken that long. But we chase that butterfly. And lo and behold, you know what happens? If we'd be a smart chick, we'd realize we was out there by ourselves, and the best place for us would be with brood. We'd be with the family. But the most enjoyable thing is that if we get down to the point where we realize who we are and where we've gone and what we've done, if we would give the panic call and we'd say, and we'd have enough sense to realize, beep, beep, beep. Guess who hears us? That's the grace and care of my God. My God hears me. And what's He do? He comes over and nestles me and sees if everything's okay and says, why don't you come on back over here? And you know, if we've been there and we've come back, and if we're not there and we should be back, then the best place and the place we find ourselves is falling close to the footsteps of Jesus, because we missed what we lost when we were gone. But listen, there was a distress call. There was a feeding call. There was a falling call. There was a feeding call. And there was a distress call. Then I think also of a sheltering call. You know, the hen always keeps an eye out for danger. I remember if there was a... anybody in here ever been with a hen and chick? If you've been with a hen and chick and they're out here feeding, and it's a clear day and it's beautiful and everything's fine and going good, and there's a cloud over yonder there in the west, and the wind brings that cloud over, and it all of a sudden has gone and obscured the sun, and that shadow casts out over the ground over top of that chicken, or over top the hen, or close to that hen. Guess what she does? She gives out that chick, 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 chick call, and they come running, and she sets down on the ground, and man, they scurry in under there. And he's watching for a little bit, and all of a sudden a head peeps out between two feathers. They're looking around saying, what in the world's going on? And if that old hen still says there's danger, she reaches down there and pecks him back in there and says, it's not time for you to get out of there yet. You stay in there. You stay back. Because I don't know what's going on. I was always curious. I've been curious about how things work and what makes things work. I just have been. And I wondered when I was a kid, I mean 5 and 6, I remember doing some of these things. But there's that cloud come over, and I thought, what's she calling for? What's going on? I'd sit there, I'd watch these old hens and the brood there walking around. And I finally realized it must be that shadow. And so I'd get me a stick about yay long, light enough for me to toss. And I'd say, I wonder how, you know, I'm curious how, I wasn't mean this, I was just curious. And I would throw that stick out over top of them as best I could. And just that much, she would see, what is that? That's something strange, either shadow or the movement that had, of that stick. And she'd go, tick, 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 zoom. They'd be heading for shelter underneath that old hen. You know why I have the assurance of heaven? Because he said that I'm as that hen, and he said, boy, I would that I could call the children. The reason that I have some security and assurance of where I'm going or who I am is not because of anything that I've done. Not at all. All my confidence and all my assurance and all my faith is in Jesus Christ and who He is and what He has done and what He's doing. And Jesus said that I am like that hen, He said, and He gives, let me say, He gives you the sheltering call. You look back in Psalms, I believe, Psalms 17 or Psalm 61. Look in Psalm 61. Watch these verses. In the first five verses of Psalm 61, you can find that He's not heard a distress call, but He's also heard and gives a sheltering call. He says, hear my cry, O God. David has said this. David out of the anxiety of his soul, really, oftentimes not being able to perform what he knew was the good and the right thing because of the flesh, and yet he'd have to go to God, and he would praise God for who God was. And so you find that David has said in Psalm 61, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer, from the end of the earth where I cry unto thee, distress call, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust the covert of thy wings, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name." Look back in Psalm 17, I believe, and verses 7 and 9, I believe, in Psalm 17, and then down in verse 7 through 9, he said, "Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand, them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings, from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about." You know, I remember one time we had those hens, and I remember that they could get in and out of the barn there, and there's some hay in the barn, and I remember they used to nest there in the edge of that hay. One morning, whenever I got up, I cut her out there to see the hens and the chicks and this and these things, and I got out there, and there was nothing but a pile of feathers where that hen had nested. Well, something had come and eaten that hen, killed that hen and eaten her. And I thought, well, the chicks are gone too. But then all of a sudden I heard that call, that chick, and it was peep, 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 real easy. And directly, peep, 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 peep. And here was, well, almost there, I don't remember. But I remember some of them had buried down in that hay underneath that hen. You know what she did? She gave her life for them chicks. She gave her life for them. She said, "I'm not running away in danger. I don't care if the enemy's coming, and I don't care if danger's there. I'm not running away." I'm very thankful this morning that Jesus never ran away when danger was. I'm thankful also that he said, "I'm not going to forsake you nor leave you." That old hen said she could have flew off to safety. She could have flew up in the rafters. She could have flew somewhere, probably. Let me say, probably she could have. I don't know if fox, I don't know what was. I know that she could have probably flew off to safety. But she said, "They're under the covert of my wings, and I'm not leaving. I'll sacrifice my life for those chicks." Jesus, let me say, didn't have to go to Calvary. He didn't have to do though. He was God. But he didn't run away from danger. He didn't run away. He cried out to God the Father, and in anguish he said, "My, if this cup could be passed from me, I would that could happen." But he added to it, he said, "But not my will, but thine be done, God. You started this will out before the foundation of the world, and so now give me the strength to continue with it. Give me the strength to carry it out. I'm not going to run away because there's chicks that's going to need protection. There's chicks that's going to come. And if I run away, they'll be destroyed." Listen, Jesus said, I'm like the hen. I'm as a hen. I'm not going to forsake him. I'm not going to run off. I'm not going to leave. Why, he rose again. He died and he rose again. Let me say that he's not subject to death any longer. He's the victor over death, hell, and the grave. And he is the hen. I mean, you may say that's a derogatory statement. No, Jesus said that as a hen gathered the chicks together, he is a hen. I'm glad that I heard a call, and I'm glad that I heard his call. I'm glad that he knows whose are his, and I know who he is. I'm also thankful that I can hear a feeding call. Let me say that on Sunday mornings you hear a feeding call, you wouldn't be here. You hear a call to come and dine with God's children and God's people. Why, maybe somebody, maybe the preacher can scratch something up to the surface that'll bless my soul and allow me to feed on some of the nutrients that God has laid out and God has passed on. Why, how many times do we cry out and we give a distress call and say, Lord, my, I need some help. I don't care if it's what mountain it is. I don't care if it's a mountain of sickness or death or loneliness or whatever it is. I know that Jesus hears that call. He said to all, you know, there in Psalm 61, he said that he heard the call. David said, hear my cry, O God. Down in verse 5, he said, thou, O God, hast heard my cry or my vow. Listen, I'm glad that we have a shelter, don't we? We have a shelter to hide from in times when the clouds of adversity come over us and the clouds of doubt, and we can run and shelter under the wings of Jesus and under the abiding care of the Lord. But listen, as he said, as a hen would gather her chicks. I think there's deep theology and what we know about the hand. I'd say this morning, do we appreciate who Jesus is and what he's done for us? Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, Lord, as we close out on that thoughts of that old hen in the barnyard and those things that's common to folks thinking, Lord, help us to just be appreciative of who you are, what you are, what you've done for us. The death you died, but you didn't run from the enemy. You stood, and Lord, above all things, the forces of hell coming against you, but yet you said that there's many a chick that needs saved, and there's many a chick that needs me, and I can't forsake them. I'm gonna scratch to the surface the grace of God that passes all understanding. I'm gonna bring to surface eternal life. The folks in the past looked forward to wasn't really clear, but I'm gonna lift the fog and let sunshine shine upon the hearts and the minds of folk today. Lord, help us as we sing an invitational hymn this morning or a song of dismissal. Father, if we need to come to an altar and say, I need you to hear my call. I need something from you. There be one here this morning that's not in the family God, not in the right brood, not following the right Lord. This morning will be a morning of salvation. But Father, we just ask you as we sing an invitational hymn to call us. Lord, help us to have the strength to respond. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.